gloomy shadows might be lightened, that the world might be brought back to God, Satan's deceptive power was to be broken. This could not be done by force. The exercise of force is contrary to the principles of God's government. Only by love is love awakened. To know God is to love him. His character must be manifested in contrast to the character of Satan. This work only one being in all the universe could do. Only he who knew the height and depth of the love of God could make it known. Upon the world's dark night, the Son of Righteousness must rise with healing in his wings.
The plan for our redemption was not an afterthought, a plan formulated after the fall of Adam. It was a revelation of the mystery which hath been kept in silence through times eternal. It was an unfolding of the principles that from eternal ages have been the foundation of God's throne. From the beginning, God and Christ knew of the apostasy of Satan and of the fall of man through the deceptive power of the apostate. God did not ordain that sin should exist, but he foresaw its existence and made provision to meet the terrible emergency. So great was his love for the world that he covenanted to give his only begotten Son, that so whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Thank you.
Savior's coming was foretold in Eden. When Adam and Eve first heard the promise, they looked for its speedy fulfillment. They joyfully welcomed their firstborn son, hoping that he might be the deliverer. But the fulfillment of the promise tarried. Those who first received it died without sight.
From the days of Enoch, the promise was repeated through patriarchs and prophets, keeping alive the hope of his appearing, and yet he came not. The prophecy of Daniel revealed the time of his advent, but not all rightly interpreted the message. Century after century passed, the voices of the prophets ceased. The hand of the oppressor was heavy upon Israel, and many were ready to exclaim, "The days are prolonged, and every vision faileth."
Thank you.
few understood. While few understood the nature of Christ's mission, there was a widespread expectation of a mighty prince who would establish his kingdom in Israel and who should come as a deliverer to the nations.
The fullness of the time had come. Humanity, becoming more degraded through ages of transgression, called for the coming of the Redeemer. Satan had been working to make the gulf deep and impassable between earth and heaven. By his falsehoods, he had emboldened men in sin. It was his purpose to wear out the forbearance of God and to extinguish his love for man so that he would abandon the world to satanic jurisdiction.
Then Jesus came to restore in man the image of his Maker. None but Christ can fashion anew the character that had been ruined by sin. He came to expel the demons that had controlled the will. He came to lift us up from the dust to reshape the marred character after the pattern of his divine character and to make it beautiful with his own glory. few understood the nature of Christ's mission, there was a widespread expectation of a mighty prince who should establish his kingdom in Israel and who would come as a deliverer to the nations.
The fullness of the time had come. Humanity, becoming more degraded through ages of transgression, called for the coming of the Redeemer. Satan had been working to make the gulf deep and impassable between earth and heaven. By his falsehoods, he had emboldened men in sin. It was his purpose to wear out the forbearance of God and to extinguish his love for man so that he would abandon the world to satanic jurisdiction.
Then Jesus came to restore in man the image of his maker. None but Christ can fashion anew the character that had been ruined by sin. He came to expel the demons that had controlled the will. He came to lift us up from the dust, to reshape the marred character after the pattern of his divine character and make it beautiful with his own glory. They journey from their home in Nazareth to the city of David. The decree of Imperial Rome for the enrollment of the peoples of her vast dominion has extended to the dwellers among the hills of Galilee. As in old time, Cyrus was called to the throne of the world's empire that he might set free the captives of the Lord, so Caesar Augustus is made the agent for the fulfillment of God's purpose in bringing the mother of Jesus to Bethlehem. She is of the lineage of David, and the son of David must be born in David's city.
Out of Bethlehem, said the prophet, shall he come forth, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from the days of eternity. But in the city of their royal line, Joseph and Mary are unrecognized and unhonored. Weary and homeless, they traverse the entire length of the narrow street, from the gate of the city to the eastern extremity of the town, vainly seeking a resting place for the night. There is no room for them at the crowded inn. In a rude building where the beasts are sheltered, they at last find refuge, and here the Redeemer of the world was born.
Heavenly angel had quieted the shepherds' fears. He had told them how to find Jesus. With tender regard for their human weakness, he had given them time to become accustomed to the divine radiance. The glory could no longer be hidden, The whole plain was lighted up with the bright shining of the hosts of God. Earth was hushed. The heaven stooped to listen to the song. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
Oh, that today the human family could recognize that song. The declaration then made, the note then struck, will swell to the close of time and resound to the ends of the earth. When the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, that song will be re-echoed by the voice of a great multitude as the voice of many waters saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth.
Amen.
disappeared, the light faded away, and the shadows of night once more fell on the hills of Bethlehem. But the brightest picture ever beheld by human eyes remained in the memory of the shepherds.
And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us go now even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger.
Departing with great joy, they made known the things they had seen and heard. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God.
Heaven and earth are no wider to part today than when the shepherds listened to the angel's song. Humanity is still as much the object of heaven's solicitude as when common men of common occupations met angels at noonday and talked with the heavenly messengers in the vineyards and the fields. To us in the common walks of life, heaven may be very near. Angels from the courts above will attend the steps of those who come and go at God's command. The story of Bethlehem is an exhaustless theme. In it is hidden the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God.
Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king. Behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him.
The wise men from the east were philosophers. They belonged to a large and influential class that included men of noble birth and comprised much of the wealth and learning of their nation. Among these were many who imposed not the incredulity of the people. Others were upright men who studied the indications of providence in nature and who were honored for their integrity and wisdom. Of this character were the wise men who came to Jesus.
The sun has one kind of splendor, the moon another, and the stars yet another. But the splendor of the morning star is greater than all of these. By his hand, he spread out the heavens. He beckons the stars one by one and calls them each by name. He speaks to the sun, and the dawn is born. At his command, the moon luminous glow.
And although he came to earth as the light of the world chose darkness. And so, those who hated the light hung the morning star on a tree to die. In that moment, the sun stopped shining and darkness covered the land.
astronomy, the morning star is the brightest star, seen in the eastern sky just before the break of dawn. At that moment, the surrounding night is darkest, and the morning star appears brightest against its ebony sky. So it is for us, at the moment when our lives are darkest, in the grip of our spiritual night, the morning star heralds the coming of dawn, a new day of rebirth. Against this dark night of the soul, the morning star seems brightest. At the end of our long night, the morning star appears.
Radiant star from Earth's dark night, sent to bring the morning light, press the darkness far away and shine to light the dreary day. Morning star that sets us free, may we keep our eyes on thee, till our hearts with glory shine, glowing with a light divine.
Thank you. May we ever have the morning star in our hearts as soon Christ shall come. If you have been blessed, remember the efforts of your local church choir as they seek to move forward and represent our church. Let us pray. Father, thank you, for you are good. Thank you, because you have given us opportunities to seek the Savior. And today, that is our desire. May you bless us as we head our different ways, and may we all be found ready for Jesus' soon return. In Jesus' name, amen.